If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on right beside me. And I wonder just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the right side of me. Yeah, walking on the right side of me. Running down. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on right beside me. Yeah, walking on the right beside me. Running down with life, I'm fighting in for that key. If you don't love it, leave it. Singing be warned. When you run down my country, man, you walking on right beside me.
Good evening. This is Paul Brown, and you're on the fighting side of me here on AltRightTV.com and White, also known as WhiteResistanceRadio.com. Well, I hate to say it, I told you so. And I don't make these comments tonight as with any sort of triumphalism that I'm such a seer and can so predict the future, and others can't actually. A lot of people have been predicting this, that this coronavirus pandemic, whatever it is, hysteria. Egged on by the press, hectored at by many politicians, especially here in Canada, would be used to bully people, reduce service, and just basically treat us badly. And I said, it doesn't matter what you believe about this. If, for instance, you believe we're more or less being told the truth, that this very severe flu is something to basically, is to fight, we need to virtually shut our nations down. Or if you believe it's perhaps not that bad, it doesn't really matter. The end result is we're being badly treated. And I'll give you two examples from today. One big one, or I mean, one very annoying one, a little less one. I first noticed this 3 weeks ago in British Columbia, a little over 3 weeks ago. And the ranch where I was staying, over the week we'd had a few bottles of wine, so I, helping keep my host's place neat, decided I'd take the wine bottles down to the local liquor store. And in British Columbia, there's a bottle refund, so I think there's a deposit of about 10 cents that is built into the bottle, whether it's a bottle of beer or wine or hard liquor. And so you return the empty bottle or the empty can of beer and you get your 10 cents back. Okay, so I did that. Well, there's a sign saying, because of the coronavirus, they're no longer accepting the bottles. This is bullshit. You see, don't let them tell you or excuse their bad behavior with the mantra, coronavirus. Because that's all it is an excuse. I thought, well, wait a sec, what happens? Well, you'd bring your bottles in, and you put them on a flat box lid. You're supposed to, in British Columbia, take off the screw caps if your wine had a screw cap top. Okay, you throw them in a big garbage bin, and then the employee at the other side takes your bottles and puts them in a big bin and reaches into a till and takes out your, you know, however many bottles times 10 cents. So you brought in 10 bottles, you get a dollar. Okay, and of course, all the while the employee's wearing gloves, right? Well, where's the problem? And you're not standing right on top of the employee, there's a little gate between the two of you. So, you know, if you really have to go through the ceremony, you step up, put your balls there, step back, the employee takes the balls, throws them in the bin, takes out your money, puts it on the counter, steps back, you step forward, and you take your money. I mean, it doesn't take genius to work out a system to make this happen. Why are they not doing it? Well, not that anybody gives you an explanation, but talking about this, or I should say complaining about it, because I don't believe we should be bullied and be silent. Yes, I want to fight this coronavirus thing, and yes, I will take reasonable steps to avoid, let's say, crowds and to keep a distance of 6 feet, etc. Okay, I'll take reasonable part. And use antibacterial wipes to wipe down surfaces around my place and the car handles, door handles, and so on, and frequently wash my hands. Fair enough, I'm prepared to go along with that. But I'm not prepared to be told nonsense. I'm not prepared to be bullied. Well, so one person trying to figure it out said, well, maybe they don't, you know, they don't know whose hands were on the bottles. Yeah, that's right. They don't know whose hands were on the bottles. But they're not touching the bottles. And similarly, in the liquor store, if you go through the liquor store and you take a look at a bottle, maybe you turn it around, look, read the back of it, put the bottle back. Well, equally, if you're not wearing gloves, you could be spreading some virus. Yeah, but the employees don't come along and lick that bottle. Anyway, that's British Columbia. Got back to Ontario. Now here in Ontario, the beer store, which is a near monopoly, used to be the Brewers Retail of Ontario. They sell most beer. You can get some beer in the government liquor stores, but most beer is sold at the beer store. Well, the beer store collects bottles. Not just beer bottles, but liquor bottles. That's the bottle recycling or bottle exchange. As soon as I got back to Ontario, lo and behold, beer store, same thing. They're not taking bottles. Why? Coronavirus. It's the same bullshit. So, I read my local paper, my local community paper, that beginning April 6th, at a couple of select outlets in Hamilton, they would function as a bottle recycling return outlet. I thought, oh, that's good. Now, these outlets, these particular stores are not particularly close to me. I happened to be in Port Credit today, and I thought, well, I'll go into the local beer store. Well, they had a sign that they weren't accepting the bottles, but there was one about 5 miles farther east in the south end of Etobicoke or West Toronto, which was. Okay. Well, so what do I do? Well, I thought, well, all right, I'll drive there. I do. And I'd never been to that particular beer store. I went around to the back, and there aren't any cars. But there are a lot of Bristol board signs. And the signs are all fussy. Like, put your empties in a box here. And then, I don't know, something would happen to them. But there were no boxes. And then I look. It's 5 o'clock. There's a sign. The store is closed at 4 o'clock. And I really let out a couple of really choice words, much to the surprise of a few people in the parking lot, who were, I think, going to some other pizza joint, I think. And I'm enraged. And I put this up on Facebook and so on. And I would ask, well, not that you're told why. They just arbitrarily close at 4 today. They normally would stay open until 7 or 8 on a Saturday. Why? Well, I suppose if you ask them, it'd be, oh, coronavirus. No, that's bullshit. Absolute nonsense. Cutting hours really does nothing to stop the coronavirus. What it does do is it concentrates customers into the time of those more limited hours. And I can't see how that could be healthy. So a lot of just plain abuse of customers. And I don't think we should take it. If you can explain rationally why you're doing something as a way of fighting the coronavirus, fair enough. But I'm not going to just simple-mindedly accept any imposition, and you cannot expect me to go along with it because, oh, coronavirus. No, it will be and has been used to abuse us. Well, I'm going to turn the floor over, so to speak, to a very good friend of mine, a very devout Christian lady, who is a broadcaster in her own right. This is Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, and she recently has come to the defense of a man in British Columbia who was has been under a terrible attack by the transgendered crowd in the matter of his daughter, who now wants to be a boy. Anyway, she's an outspoken lady, and she's going to give her views on Donald Trump, Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, the mark of the beast, digital implants, and hydrochloroquine. Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the broadcast. I just wanted to talk briefly today about something very interesting to me personally. I have told you before that I take a certain drug because I have lupus, and it happens to be the drug that is sort of at the height of the controversy with respect to what everybody is saying is a miracle drug, hydroxychloroquine. And I have been taking this for about 14 years now, and it's an absolute miracle drug for me. It has very little side effects, and it keeps my lupus in check, because antibodies in lupus, they are like little crazed antibodies that attack everything. Rather than attacking a virus, rather than attacking some sort of disease or sickness, sometimes it just attacks your person. And so I was very curious about this when it all came out that this was showing itself to be a real miracle drug. So I've been kind of following along, and it's been very interesting to me as I've watched sort of a little bit of the controversy going on in the States with Donald Trump and this Dr. Fauci. I saw several doctors from across the world talking about how this drug was really working, that they had found 100% success. Now, that seems crazy, right? I mean, I'm sure that there must be, you know, 100%, that's just nuts. But it's working in combination with zinc and, you know, a couple other things. One doctor is really recommending vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin A, that these are strong things, first of all, just to keep your immune system doing very, very well so that it can, you know, handle anything that comes its way. When doctor after doctor from different parts of the world were saying that hydroxychloroquine is a really good, you know, remedy, it was interesting to me that when Donald Trump was saying, all right, well, we're going to order, you know, 29 million pills, and we're going to deliver that. Then there was some pushback, and a guy from CNN, of course, the Communist News Network, was saying, you know, well, we don't have any tests done, apparently. And Dr. Fauci was saying this as well. And Donald Trump was saying, listen, if this seems to work, then let's try it. There's nothing harmed. If we try it and it doesn't work, then we say, well, it didn't work. But if it works, it saves a lot of lives. And so I heard one particular doctor say that you should get 200 milligrams three times a day to someone who's infected, along with zinc, and that you can take care of this virus. Now, I wanted to read you something about this virus. This is from Johns Hopkins Hospital, just to give you an example of what this virus really is. The virus is not a living organism, but a protein molecule, DNA, covered by a protective layer of lipid fat, which, when absorbed by the cells of the ocular, nasal, or buccal mucosa, changes their genetic code. So there's a mutation there, and it converts them into an aggressor and a multiplier of cells. It's only when it kind of latches on that it begins to multiply, and then it becomes a really big problem. So since the virus is not a living organism but a protein molecule, it is not killed but decays on its own. The disintegration time depends on the temperature, humidity, and type of material where it lies. You may have heard that you should be drinking some hot water these days. If you have any kind of cough at all, this protein cannot withstand heat. So drink hot water, they say, as hot as you can bear it without burning yourself. Drink this hot water. Take your vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin D. This could actually take care of it because it will pull the virus down into your stomach, first of all, where it will die and it will leave your body. The virus is very fragile. The only thing that protects it is a thin outer layer of fat. That is why any soap or detergent is the best remedy. Because the foam cuts the fat, that is why you have to rub so much, for 20 seconds or more to make a lot of foam. By dissolving the fat layer, the protein molecule disperses and breaks down on its own. Heat melts the fat. That is why it's so good to use water above 77 degrees Fahrenheit for washing your hands, clothes, and everything. In addition, hot water makes more foam, and that makes it even more useful. Alcohol or any mixture with alcohol over 65% dissolves that fat around it and allows it to be exposed so that it'll be dealt with. Any mix with one part bleach and five parts water directly dissolves the protein, breaks it down from the inside. Peroxide dissolves the virus protein, but you have to use it pure, and that can hurt your skin. It says, never shake used or unused clothing sheets or cloth. Don't shake it into the air. If you use a feather duster, it could shake into the air. The virus molecules float in the air for up to 3 hours and can lodge in your nose. So you don't want them lodging in your nose. So to me, that just sounds like no dusting. You know, ladies, we don't need to dust at this time. The virus cannot go through healthy skin. That's great. So it's you know, being on your hands is not a problem. That's why it's great to just wash your hands, because having the virus on your hands is not going to harm you. It's when it gets into your mouth and your nose area, that's the problem. Listerine, if it is 65% alcohol, you know, that is good for you. That can kill it. And to be sure to moisturize your hands a lot. And the thicker the lotion, the better, because those little things get into the cracks in your hands if you have dry hands from all of the washing. So besides all of this, the fascinating thing to me was that Dr. Fauci and others were giving Donald Trump a very hard time about this hydroxychloroquine. And because I know and have been taking it for so many years, I know that it's a really simple drug. There's, you know, nothing happens to you because of it. So why not try? Why not try if people across the world are saying that this works? And doctors are reporting that their patients were recovering 100%. And when I hear of people passing away, my first thought is, well, were they on the hydroxychloroquine? Were they having high doses of vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin A? Were they taking it with zinc? You know, these are the things they're saying working around the world. I hope that that's what doctors are doing. But when you see the pushback, so the surprising thing and what I wanted to share was I was just so surprised about Dr. Fauci. Now, then I realized that he is actually in cahoots with Bill Gates. Now, Bill Gates, I am going to combine two broadcasts that I did, because I did a broadcast yesterday that was all about Bill Gates and his idea to and, you know, vaccinate the world, right? And to put things in the vaccinations, you know, into our bodies, things that we can't trust. So this Dr. Fauci, you know, who's in the United States, interesting thing about him, look at this. He predicted this. Fauci said, no doubt, Trump will face surprise infectious disease outbreak. And when do you think he said that? Was it last month? No. January 11th, 2017. Isn't that interesting? No doubt. Oh, he's like a prophet. No doubt, Trump is going to face a surprise infectious disease outbreak. Wow, you're so smart, Dr. Fauci. During a forum on pandemic preparedness at Georgetown University, Fauci said the Trump administration will not only be challenged by ongoing global health threats such as influenza and HIV, but also a surprise disease outbreak. The history of the last 32 years that I have been the director of the NIAID will tell the next administration that there is no doubt they will be faced with the challenges their predecessors were faced with. Well, let's look at something else. So I come across this article. Fauci and Birx both have big money Bill Gates conflicts of interest. So Fauci has a conflict of interest with Bill Gates. Oh, what is that? Faces of coronavirus pandemic response connected to globalists. All right, President Donald Trump is fighting to find a medical solution for coronavirus in the short term, expressing hope that the anti-malaria drug chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, can help patients suffering from the Chinese virus. The truth is that President Donald Trump is locked in an intense power struggle with Bill Gates, who is pushing his vaccines. Bill Gates is nonstop, oh, we gotta get the whole world vaccinated. Gates has a lot of pull in the medical world. He has a multi-million dollar relationship with Dr. Fauci. And Fauci originally took the Gates line supporting vaccines and casting doubt on chloroquine. And this is what Fauci did. He, you know, he just kept saying, oh, we don't have any tests done, we don't have anything done, you know, but why not try it? There's no harm to trying it. Gates is a big proponent for a population lockdown scenario for the coronavirus outbreak. Well, we're all doing what Bill Gates wanted. The lockdown. That's a Bill Gates idea. Lock everyone down and, you know, I understand. We have a problem with the virus, so we want to all be locked down. But before we were in lockdown, maybe we could have been forced to wear masks. I don't know. I don't know. So much is so strange. You read these things about, oh, that's going on. Okay. Director Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is represented by the Orem Speakers Bureau, initially criticized Trump's hopeful assessment of chloroquine, saying in an interview with CNN's Anderson Cooper, I don't like him. There's no magic drug for coronavirus right now, and lectured, let me put it into perspective for the viewers. There has been anecdotal non-proven data that chloroquine works. But when you have an uncontrolled trial, you can never definitely say that it works. Who cares? You're in a crisis. When you're in a crisis, you have to use everything at your disposal at all costs. You just have to do your very best. And if something appears to work, why not try it? Like, what do you have to lose? But now Fauci has changed his tune and launched a public relations campaign huddling closer to Trump. Fauci says that he would definitely prescribe chloroquine for patients. Yeah, of course, particularly if people have no other option. These drugs are approved drugs for other reasons. If they have no other option, yeah, you know, dying. If doctors around the world are saying that this has been successful, let's just do it. Well, so here's the thing. Bill Gates cast doubt on chloroquine and said he is running a study on it. So once again, it's Bill Gates that seems to have a problem with it. And Fauci, who is in relationship with him, is, you know, going along with it. Gates is funding coronavirus vaccine candidates that would compete with chloroquine. And Dr. Fauci's agency is co-partnering on the project. So they're all in it together. So whatever Bill Gates says, you can see that Dr. Fauci is on board with that. The Gates Foundation money is backing vaccine development on every front. Inovio Pharmaceuticals of Pennsylvania received $9 million from the Gates-backed CEPI Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness. They knew it was coming. And we see that there is practically no area of the current coronavirus pandemic where the footprints of the omnipresent Gates are not to be found. It goes on to say here, Fauci is tight with Bill Gates. Gates met with Fauci in 2017 to discuss research opportunities in global health. In 2010, Fauci was named to the Leadership Council of the Decade of Vaccines Collaboration, which the World Health Organization, Fauci's agency, UNICEF, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation convened. Fauci hung out with Gates in 2018 at the workshop. There's pictures of them. Gates admitted that he stopped President Trump's planned vaccine safety commission with Robert Kennedy Jr. in the early days of the Trump administration. Why stop that? In October 2019, Fauci announced a partnership between the Gates Foundation and Fauci's agency, in which the Gates Foundation pledged to spend $100 million. So there is a well-established relationship going on there. When I was watching the news and seeing that hydroxychloroquine could be, you know, a really good option, and then I saw all of this pushback that made no sense. Like, you know, when something doesn't make sense, you have to begin wondering, you know, what the deal is. There's more about Bill Gates, so I'd like to just connect you to the last broadcast I did where I was just, it was just really coming to light about all of this. And so I hope that works out. Thanks for joining me. Take a look at this. Bill Gates, one of the most wealthiest men in the world. And if there's anything I've found out is that if you're rich, everyone wants to listen to you. Doesn't matter if you're stupid. It only matters that you're rich. Doesn't matter if you have an evil agenda. It doesn't matter that you believe in depopulation and population control. That doesn't matter. It just matters that you have a lot of money. So whatever you say matters. People like me and you, you know, we got a little bit of money stored away if we're lucky in a sock somewhere, but no one's listening. Certainly not the world powers. So here's Bill Gates. Look at this. Bill Gates. He wants to microchip people to help fight off diseases like coronavirus. Do you see that in there? That is a possibility in a hand where you would put a microchip. Microsoft co-founder has, like many other famous people, been talking about the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak and what people can do to slow down the spread of the disease and help fight it off. He wrote on Reddit very recently that eventually people will have some digital certificates, aka microchips, to control diseases like the coronavirus. Ted recently interviewed Gates, and prior to that he did an Ask Me Anything session on Reddit. In his Reddit AMA, Gates revealed something that took many people by surprise, eventually putting him in the sights of a few conspiracy theories that eventually took off and became viral. What did he say? During his Reddit session, Gates discussed digital certificates that reveals who has recovered from or been vaccinated against COVID-19. This has raised the concern of many who fear that the billionaire and philanthropist may want to implant microchips in everyone. But is that fear founded? Did he really say that? The answer is yes. Bill Gates suggested such a thing. However, it is somewhat easier to say than to do. Yes, it will be easier to say than to do, because a lot of people aren't going to take your microchip. So you can just take that thing and shove it. Lots of people are not going to be submitting, and I'm not just talking about Christians who believe in the mark of the beast in Revelation. You know, the mark of the beast is prophesied that it will come. It will be in a hand or on a forehead. It will be something that identifies people. And you won't be able to buy or sell without it. That's what Revelation says. All right. But I got some atheist friends, too. And you know what? They don't want no microchip in their body either, Mr. Gates, because they don't want to be monitored. And they don't want to be watched. Who knows what they can put in a microchip? Where you are, all kinds of stuff. And, of course, this is only first generation. How much you want to bet that in a few years, they'll have like the Mondo of all microchips, right? You'll be able to interact. Oh, you don't need a card anymore. You just put your hand, right? You go to Costco and you buy all your groceries and you microchip your hand. Perfect. You can't, you know, people can't steal it. I mean, frankly, I'd be worried that people maybe can steal it. They'll start like cutting open your hand to get the microchip. So, this is where we're going. And so Bill Gates, the guy who everyone wants to listen to, is saying basically that they want to put a microchip in. Did you see that? Gates discussed digital certificates that reveal who has recovered from or been vaccinated against COVID-19. Well, what if you haven't been vaccinated, but you've never had it and you don't want that vaccination? There's a whole lot going on about, you know, vaccinating kids and forced mandated vaccinations, and ooh, your kids can't go to school maybe if they don't have the vaccination. And then we find out what's in those vaccinations. Whole lot of stuff about that on the internet. Let me just take you a couple of other places here, okay? It's so interesting that Bill Gates actually predicted the coronavirus pandemic in his 2015 TED Talk. Just Google Bill Gates 2015 TED Talk. So he talks about this. Look at this big thing. He's on the stage, and now we all know what a coronavirus looks like, right? That's it. The part of the talk that's making the rounds on social media is from the beginning, when Gates explains that while the greatest threat to humanity when he was growing up was nuclear war, the greatest threat is now a virus. So if anything kills over 10 million people in the next few decades, it's most likely to be a highly infectious virus rather than a war, he said, which sounds like the current pandemic, doesn't it? What else does Bill Gates say? I mean, if he's so knowledgeable, let's look. Bill Gates on coronavirus, five things that world leaders must do right away. So you see, here he is talking to the world leaders, right? Getting all of this power and control. Everybody wants to listen to Bill Gates. Why? Because he has money. Are they calling you up? Hey, Warland, what do you think we should do? No one's calling me. Number one, rich countries must support poor countries. Yes, absolutely. Vaccine trials must be accelerated. Yes, all of that. Healthcare systems must be strengthened. International diplomacy is crucial. I don't know. Sorry, it doesn't seem like rocket science. Seems obvious. Those are good suggestions. Thank you very much, Bill. How about this one? This one's in the National Post. All right. Bill Gates funds birth control microchip that lasts 16 years inside the body and can be turned on or off with remote control. Oh, Bill and Linda Gates care so much about our reproduction. So thoughtful. And here's some great pictures of them visiting different parts of the world, being able to turn on and off the reproduction rights of women across the globe. I mean, we have come so far. Here's a shot. I mean, who wouldn't love this? Carrying that little baby. You know, Bill and Melinda Gates. So they have given more than 4.5 million to Microchips Inc. to develop personal systems that enable women to regulate their fertility, according to an entry on the foundation's website. I mean, isn't that wonderful? I mean, he's really been into this whole microchip thing, you know, taking care of all of us, making sure that we can have the microchip that best fits us. So thoughtful. Bill and Melinda Gates will push population control on 120 million more women by 2020. Thank you, Bill. So when this guy wants to control the population, in 2017, Melinda Gates she made a solemn oath and promise that she will not give up her goal to provide family planning access to 120 million women worldwide by 2020. The Kansas City Star reports the Family Planning 2020 Summit, which receives support from the Gates Foundation, is falling behind on its 2012 pledge to provide contraception to 120 million women in the next 8 years. Now, it goes on to say that Gates' renewed vigor for this mission is likely linked to the current political climate. After being sworn in, President Trump in 2016, he signed an executive order reinstating a so-called global gag rule, which prohibits U.S. funding to clinics that provide abortion services overseas, according to a report from The Hill. See, Bill Gates and Melinda and all of their love for population control and women's fertility, they really want to make sure that women also can access abortions across the world, because Trump said he wasn't going to fund that based on his conscience. Now, if you go on to Google and you look around, you will find YouTubes like this easily. Bill Gates admits vaccines are for population control. Now, Bill Gates, of course, is at home. He's working from home. There with his dog. Looks like a nice man, eh? Could be anyone's grandpa. Bill Gates will use microchip implants to fight coronavirus. He will use. Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates will launch human implantable capsules that have digital certificates which can show who has been tested for the coronavirus and who has been vaccinated against it. The 64-year-old tech mogul and currently the second richest person in the world, everybody loves a rich guy, revealed this yesterday during a Reddit Ask Me Anything session while answering questions on the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. So, I'm not going to get any microchip to control the coronavirus or anything else. It's one thing to get a really good vaccine, you know, that's actually a vaccine not full of disturbing things. It's a completely different thing to put and be talking about globally a microchip. And how long till that's forced? And these words to see who's been vaccinated or not. And what if you haven't? What if this is just the test run for the end game, for when they have another global crisis of some kind, another virus, a more deadly one? What if these chips do in fact mean it's the only way to purchase things, the only way to buy food? You know, everyone who's a leftist doesn't care about all this, only wants the goodies. They'll all be like, oh yeah, fine, those people are crazy. They don't want the microchip. So, I'm just going to end with this. Matthew 24, verses 6 to 8. Do you know what it says? It says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are the beginning of birth pains. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. All I know is, it's all going to be okay. So don't worry and don't fret. Let not your heart be troubled. All of these things must come to pass. How do we know what to do? How do we know who to listen to? It's a good question, right?
That's Laurel Ann Tyler Thompson. This is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. I'm going to take my musical break right now and gonna have some German. Having started off this program with my complaints about being the way I was treated at the beer store, actually not treated, nobody was working. Let's have some German beer drinking music. This is Paul Fromm.
Thank you. This is Paul Fromm. You're on the Fighting Side of Me. Back with you again tomorrow, same time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the Fighting Side of Me, here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com or AltRightTV.com.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf.